shuffle.
Kill, kill, kill.
Kill, kill, kill.
Kill shuffle. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another extra special quarantine edition of Kill Shuffle. I'm Donal.
I'm Dylan. And this is an extra tight one.
It's an extra tight, super mini bonus episode of the show. We will
vacuum
be back
sealed.
With our regular, it's a vacuum sealed, super fresh, stockpiled episode. All to do with EPs, because we sort of felt, well, we're on lockdown here, literal lockdown now, as of... what day was it? Last Friday, I believe? You went into full lockdown?
I guess last Tuesday was when I finished my work day, and I've basically been in since then. And before then, I lived the life, so, yeah.
Well, we are mandated to stay home right now, as I would imagine is the same for you in your country. So, to stave off boredom, we have rounded up some EPs that came out in the last few weeks, and we're going to review them really, really quickly. And then we'll be back to our regular scheduled sort of fortnightly programming next weekend. So we're going to be looking at new EPs from Roswell Kid and Sleeping Bag, The Glitch Mob, Alkaline Trio, New Pagans, and also VV. That's just a selection that came out in the last month or so, I would say.
Ish.
And it's been a while since we did an EP special.
Yeah, I think it's been since the first year.
Yeah, I think
or
so.
Or something. Yeah,
I'll have to come up with another punny title for this episode. Yeah. So we're gonna rattle through these because they're kind of between 3 and 5 songs each. So it's really more of an indication of where these bands are going to go, or what they're kind of. It's either a reflection of their most recent album, or potentially an indication of where their next album is going to go, or in the case of a new artist, maybe what a potential first album could sound like. So there's really nothing else to discuss in the music world, I don't think, apart from I've discovered a very cool website and app that I'd like to tell everybody about, because I think this could be a lot of fun for people. Jukebox, JQBX .fm. This is a great way, because I've been sort of obsessively trying to figure out if there was a way to listen to Spotify with other people and have the sound sync up. And I know Spotify had been trialing a means of doing this through the app, but it was all very much in the experimental phase. So there didn't seem to be a way of doing that in the here and now. But Jukebox is that thing. So what you do is you just log in using your Spotify account details, and you set up a room, or you join somebody else's room, and then all the music that's played in that room automatically links to your Spotify, and it's all synced up at the same time, and everybody can add tracks to the queue, and it's a really good idea for,
fancy that.
Yeah, so if you want to sort of have a listening party, or just sort of show somebody some music that you've been obsessed with recently, start a room on Jukebox and invite them. And as long as they've got Spotify, it should all sync up beautifully. So I'm excited to try that out with a few friends.
Yeah, I'm glad we have that now. I'm glad Spotify is adding very important things, I guess.
Yeah, or at least the third parties are developing those things where Spotify themselves won't. So it's awesome. I'm excited to try that and set up a few rooms, and maybe you and I could sort of go back
Hopefully.
Through some of our classics. And
yeah,
spend some time.
That'd be nice. That'd be very cool.
Yeah. All right. So that's not necessarily a specific music update. That's more of a general music service that you can avail of. But anywho, so I think we should probably get started.
We should.
The first EP is the release that inspired this segment, because I know you were very keen to cover this on the last show, and I sort of said, well, why don't we drop in a mini episode and we can kind of cover that one right up the top. So the artist is Villa Vallo, also known as VV, formerly of Him fame, and the release is titled Gothic Athenica Volume 1.
Volume 1, important.
Volume 1, very important.
Yeah,
right off the bat, there's something that looks like a heartogram on the front of this EP. Is that the heartogram, or is that some new variation?
According to what I'm looking at on my tattoo right now, it's the bottom part of it, which is bent into a V. So I guess that's V for his name, which is pretty cool, because he came up with the logo. Like, he has a tattoo on himself. It's his design.
Right.
He's going forward with it. He said on many occasions that him was only kind of the first chapter of what encompasses his musical journey.
Sure.
And this is what he decides to just jump on us with. So yeah, exciting and unknown. So,
what was him the Villa Valo show to a certain extent?
No. I think everybody was pretty distinct. Yeah. Lindy, the guitarist, Gas Lipstick, the drummer. They've all got just awesome names, and they're very memorable.
Yeah,
people. It's very very distinct moment of time with goth melancholy music, or love metal, as they've coined it.
Love metal, right?
Yeah.
So is this? We actually, funnily enough, I know you've got a him tattoo, and him are one of your favorite bands of all time, right?
Probably the favorite.
The favorite band.
Yeah.
So it's kind of curious that we never. Did we ever do him on the show?
No, because it's kind of like sacred ground, in a way.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of.
So to this day, I don't really know any him.
No. I wouldn't blame you. Beyond, but like, then again,
that song, Wings of a Butterfly, that was like kind of a mini song back when we were in school. But
yeah, that's the one on Kerrang and Scuzz, but a lot of them were. Yeah. I'm actually quite surprised, since you quite like a lot of Finnish music. And just Nordic music, essentially.
Yeah, I like a lot of Nordic and Scandi music. The Finns, I can't think
Nightwish.
Of a specific... You see, yeah, and I always feel like the Finns just go a little bit too cheeseball for me. even though I have enjoyed Nightwish in the past, but, you know, who are those? Children of Bodom, I believe, are Finnish. And again, they're like a little bit too cheeseball for me, but I'm sure
the 69 Eyes.
I really dug deep. No, I don't know them. I'm sure if I dug deep, there would be one or two Finnish acts that I enjoy, but generally speaking, I'm more of a Norway, Sweden, Denmark kind of guy.
a lot of people found all of this from Viva La Bam, because Bam was sporting the Hardogram tattoo, and he became really good friends with Ville and promoted his music to America, and that's essentially why they're so big in America, is because of him.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and I heard all these bands, Bodom, just... That whole kind of it's close to Scuzz and Kerrang, that kind of rock scene. These were kind of the front runners of the whole thing, or at least to a certain degree from that show.
Okay. And so what would be, before we kind of kick into Fenica Gothica or Gothica Fenica, what would be the best jumping off point for somebody that's unfamiliar with him?
They've done a few different flavors of what they do, but I'd say Love Metal, the actual album, is concise him to the point. Like, that's them with their sound fully formed, I guess, at the time.
Okay, sure. All right.
And then they've done, like, Venus Doom is, like, drop C, real dark. Typo Negative.
We did Venus Doom. Sorry, we did Venus Doom on the show.
I think we talked about it.
We covered it, man. It was super early on, I'm pretty sure, but I think we did. We covered Venus Doom.
I think I talked... We'll have to check back on that.
No, I remember listening to that album many times. I think we covered it. it was super early on, though.
It
might not have been on the show, but I've definitely... Yeah, I think it might have even been pre-show. But you were like, listen to Venus Doom, and like I did give it like three or four spins, I remember. So if it wasn't on the show, it was just pre Kill Shuffle. But yeah, I remember. Yeah, I wasn't a gigantic massive fan, but yeah, I'll give Love and Metal a shout. Anyway, when it comes to this, is this a million miles from him as a sort of a sound?
This is it. This is kind of a continuation, and a lot of references back as well. I think each song kind of references back and then develops more without breaking the sound barrier too much. They break the songwriting barrier a little bit more in this, especially in the last song. That does some real interesting stuff.
That's the one that kind of really took me into goth town, in terms of like Typo Negative, Paradise Lost. Mm-hmm. There's an actual kind of heavy-ish kind of riff that drives the song, whereas in the others it's very much sort of chord and synth based.
Yeah, Dark Light was kind of the more poppy album that some of the first two songs are kind of based off of, and then last song is kind of the early drop D kind of Black Sabbath-y. I'd say very Black Sabbath-y.
Yeah.
No, it's
I think it's hard to know really, because I think probably the best song on it is, there's only three. I think
it's fast,
pretty strong. I think Salute the Sanguine, or Salute the Sanguini, as I call it in my head. Good.
Oh yeah, sorry. No, that's got some very nice little elements in it, like odd kind of leads in the background and synths and reverb techniques. Yeah. I like how he works that. Say what you will about him as a music, I like the whole reverb techniques that are used on this.
Yeah, I have to say, it's for me the major sticking point. I mean, I think Runaway from the Sun, unfortunately, I'm not sure the songwriting is quite where I want it to be. Like, it sounds it sounds a bit corporate training video or like department store punk music to me.
I think it's pretty
sweet. That song.
But it sounds very finishing and bulky.
I think it sounds super generic, but I think what doesn't help it, and what doesn't help the whole EP maybe, is the production is very neutral. Like, it's very hands-off and quite smoothed out. And there's no rough edges on the production whatsoever. Would that be kind of typical? I know they're kind of going for like a love metal style.
It's just him. I believe it's just Ville doing everything. Mm.
I would have liked a little bit more crunch. Possibly.
If it's him doing everything, fair fucks to that, because it's impressive and like, it's him playing the guitar, and I've always really heard it's always really just being the other guy on guitar using that kind of sound. Right. So to hear him pretty much hone that sound, a little less complex, but the root of the band's songwriting comes from Ville, so that's nice to see having a comeback, even if all the cards aren't in place. Yeah. It still has some weight to it, and it's quite memorable.
Mm. I think it is. I mean, you know, that like, say whatever else you will about it, but the choruses, particularly in the first two tracks, are very catchy.
Yeah.
He likes the last note being kind of a melisma, because he's like, and then run away from the sun. Like,
yeah, they're the two commonalities. I was like, okay, maybe a bit much. Fine. You know, that's just kind of how he's doing it.
I think this is pretty fine. Yeah, the last song took the cake for you. Yeah, the last song is the most is definitely the gothiest and the most sort of what I would have said, like, it distinctive.
Yeah, he really brings his voice up later during that, which is, I love when he does it. He's got an amazing kind of reach when he wants to.
Yeah.
Doesn't do it too much in this, but still fun.
Yeah, you can actually hear like a tiny little bit of grit and grizzle in his voice just in that last track towards the end when he's reaching a bit further. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't think this is bad, but I think maybe it's a promise of things to come more than I'd be interested to hear volume two.
I think it's lovely. It's as a him fan, I was like, holy shit, I thought this was dead. But it sounds really fantastic.
like the best of him, right?
It's close. Some of these are close. I say the last song is one of them, is one of the real good ones. First song as well is pretty up there. Middle song, it's all right. I don't mind it too much. I wouldn't go to that for my hymn stuff much. I like that it still hits hard. Like, it's still got a hard rock edge. It's not like a solo guy going to a lighter edge too much. Still got a blast to it.
Okay, I mean,
yeah. While still being sweet.
It's definitely sweet. I mean, I think I'm going to reserve judgment on this one for a little bit. I certainly didn't not enjoy it. It's a weird way of saying that, but I enjoyed it. But I just didn't. It didn't blow me away. But I still think that you know, he's got a cool voice and songwriting chops. So I'm interested to kind of hear what Volume 2 brings. And I do want to go back and listen to Love Metal.
Yeah. Just, you know, they're all fun. It's a great exploration to get through this whole band. And Love Metal's the nicest point, I think. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Do you want to give it a score out of 10?
I don't know. I guess I'll give it an 8. Yeah,
cool.
Very good 8.
Probably a 6 for me for now.
That's fair.
And what's your favorite track of the three?
The last one. Saturn. What? How was it called again? Saturnine, Saturnalia.
Saturnalia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'll take Salute the Sanguine. Thank you very much.
Nice.
So that's VV is how Ville Vallo is going by in this project.
Ville
so
Vallo.
The album itself, Ville Vallo. And I believe is it Fenica Gothica or Gothica Fenica? So fun
Gothica
to say.
Fenica.
Gothica Fenica, Volume 1 by VV, if you want to check that out for yourself. All right, next up is, that was a guy near and dear to your heart. This is a bunch of people near and dear to my heart. We're going to talk about Roswell Kid and Sleeping Bag, a.k.a. Jordan Hudkins and Dave Segedy. That's how I'm going to commit to pronouncing it. I've literally, there's only two people on the internet pronouncing that name, and they both pronounce it differently. So, you know, we tried. Jordan Hudkins is the man behind Roswell Kid, originally a solo effort to sort of just bring back the joy of sort of blue era Weezer style 90s music with his Roswell Kid LP in 2011, and since has developed a band around him. And as you should know by now, Precious Art by Roswell Kid was my album of the year in 2017. Absolutely
your phone
loved
cover
it.
It had a whole lot
yeah my obsession. I love that band. I think they absolutely nail that hyper melodic, just like good times in the sun but with a hint of sort of pathos and melancholy. That perfect
I think blend. Two years later I grew to it. Remember, I think I said that to you.
Great.
Like, I gave it another listen and then I actually loved it because it just hit.
Good.
But at the time it did not hit. I think I didn't rate it too highly at all.
I know. I'm so glad that you came around to it though. That's great.
I give it like an 8 now, you know.
Yeah. Well, you need it, you know my feelings. And then Dave Segedy is from a band called Sleeping Bag. And Sleeping Bag they certainly wouldn't be as popular as Roswell Kid, but I've had a listen back to a couple of their albums and they've been around sort of roughly a similar time frame, and really, really cool. They actually kind of almost remind me a little bit of that band Shy Boys. Not necessarily in terms of the sonics, but what they do is they try and take they almost lean a little bit heavier on the sad kind of like dark clouds on a sunny day element of that same sound. They wouldn't be as day glow and bright as Roswell Kid. I think you might even possibly prefer Sleeping Bag.
I don't know. It's too sad.
It's hard
on
sleeve, but it's a similar type thing. And this EP is called Dreamboats 2, a real chill sequel. And it's
avoiding
it's
the Boogaloo rhyming scheme.
I haven't been able to track down Dreamboats 1, but this was supposedly a long time ago. The two wrote and collaboratively sort of
that's
recorded
cool.
an EP together. Yeah. Yes, that's what this is. So this isn't. I believe this is just Jordan and Dave, kind of working as the lead songwriters of their respective bands, kind of just working together.
All right.
Yeah. Which can you hear that? Because this is like 5 songs, and I know I could certainly hear a blend of the classic Roswell Kid sound with something a little bit
darker. Second listen around, there's a split, right?
I first thought that it was like one Roswell Kid song, one Sleeping Bag song, like that, but actually they're both of the guys worked on all of these songs, best as I
that's
can
what it seems.
Yeah. So I mean, it's probably no surprise to say that I loved this for the most part. I was interested to hear if you had any highlights.
I probably loved it for the least part.
Oh, really?
I liked the first song a lot. And,
the first song. We got to talk about that.
Maybe the instrumentals in Back to the Future 4.
Yeah. Well, those. I mean, I think absolutely the first track and Back to the Future 4 are probably the highlights for me too. Absolutely, just. It can swing right up there with any of the best Roswell Kid songs. I just think it's phenomenal. It sounds like Weezer on speed, which I love. Like, it's just that bit more high octane and upbeat and up tempo, and the chorus is just genius, you know. It's barely the line is barely there, but it's so effective. The absolutely nothing to me, really good.
I can stand by the lyrics definitely when I want to pay attention to them. For the most part, I don't. mainly with the lesser known, I tend to be like, okay, it's a little bit kind of drags on for me. In that kind of sleepy, the sleepy Weezer feeling, I get. I don't know what to call it, but that part for the most part with a lot of these songs and the vocals kind of turns me off. But I like when I want the instrumentals, they're there, and I enjoy them still quite a bit.
I think like that, for example, like that instrumental treatment of the chorus in Back to the Future 4 is really lovely, where it's just like
the two
picked guitar strings.
It's familiar.
And the lyric is great. I think the lyric is really good, just because it's so strange. Like, they seem to have a bit of a movie obsession, this band. Like, for example, in the first album, you've got like UHF on DVD. Like, it's a whole song about watching the Weird Al Yankovic movie. And then
I love
like, the song Michael Keaton is all about how him and his friend got obsessed with Batman the movie and wanted to meet Michael Keaton in person and stuff. And these guys, and like, so Back to the Future 4 is the chorus lyric is something like, let's make a movie about going back in time to make sure the movie doesn't get made or something.
There's a pattern I'm noticing and I love, which is hoping for something to happen, like dreaming big, kind of slacker rock.
It's full of hope. Dreaming big. I like this is definitely dreaming big, slacker rock. Chiller Instinct is all about their pets, which I think is cute.
Yeah, I like that.
And it's fun. I just think, and then I love the, I don't know if you saw this on Roswell Kid's Twitter, but you know Mac and Me, you know the little alien from Mac and Me.
I do.
It's like actual footage of us shooting filming the recorder solo from Letterman.
Yeah.
And it's like the alien going.
Oh, I did see that.
So good. It's like the best a recorder has been used since what's the Sasquatch song on Pick a Destiny? That has recorder in it, right?
Oh, yes. So that's I don't know. I like it and I don't like it.
Hated it the first time I heard it, like hated it, and then it's burrowed its way into my brain like a parasite.
Like, I did the cruel mistake of listening to it through my laptop speakers first, and that sounded so tinny.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, and then I listened to it later, a little less so, but still the fact that, I don't know, it kind of grated on my ears a bit.
The production's a little rough and ready on this, but I don't mind it. But it's not as pristine as it was on Precious Art, for example.
Oh yeah, yeah. yeah, I don't know. I think it's a bit slapdash at parts, definitely.
It wouldn't have been put together with the same exact care and attention as like a full fledged release. But I gotta say, like, I do, you know, I'm here for the post punk parts on like a track like Let the Spider Chill, and the kind of Beach Boys ballady influence on the last track, and I don't know, you know, as far as I'm concerned, more of these guys' work in the world is a good thing. Like, I'm on board for it, and I understand that it's not going to be for absolutely everybody, but I just think like I love the tongue-in-cheek sort of attitude that they have and approach that they take to the music.
Well, I think for me is like I've grown to love Roswell Kid, but I don't think I like Sleeping Bag.
Okay.
And there seems to be a lot of Sleeping Bag in this, even though there's fair bit of Roswell. A lot of the songs tie with Sleeping Bag as well.
Yeah, I would say check out their most recent album, just see if you like it, because it's very short. It's like 20 minutes or something like that. The songs are all like a minute and a half. Sure. But no, it's fun. It's cool. That's kind of what I meant about Shy Boys as well, because their album was so short and the songs were so short. But I think I'm very happy with this. I think I would probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Oh yeah. Oh, I wish I could. What's your favorite song, first of all?
Absolutely, no question. So that might end up being my favorite song of the year. So
really, sorry, I had more stuff to say about it.
Go ahead.
A small criticism on it, I think, would be that it sounds kind of by the books as a speedy song as far as Roswell Kids go. I know they've done some really nice, fast, speedy songs in the past, but this seems kind of like, okay, we need kind of a fast combo of chords to move around while we're doing the chorus. There they are. It seemed kind of just a little paint by numbers for me. I still enjoyed it. You know, I like the vibe. I think that goes a long way to say that a band's vibe can save even songs that are all right for me.
Sure.
So I'm going to give this a 6, and absolutely is my favorite song as well.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Okay, great stuff. I didn't mean to cut you off there. You sure you're done?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that is Dreamboats 2, a real chill sequel by Roswell Kid and Sleeping Bag. I guess you can find it on both of their Spotify's if you want to check it out and just inject some of that 1994 summer energy into your life. Okay, cool. So next up, we'll have a little look at the Glitch Mob from Los Angeles. This is a sort of a collective that we've covered on the show before.
Have we?
Yes, we have.
Jesus, damn!
Sweet Jesus. Yeah. So this is the Chemicals EP. The last album, See Without Eyes, was one that we covered here on the show. I think we were both pretty positive about it. They do sort of a European inspired mixed with sort of modern complextro, big house beats, I guess, sort of EDM beats. Would be their raison d'etre. I think we found that their last album was a bit of a return to form after a weird and wonderful second album. Drink the Sea from 2010 is still my favorite thing the Glitch Mob have done. Like, there's a song, Drive It Like You Stole It, which I just absolutely love, and it had a very lazy, cool, groovy take on that EDM sound that I wasn't hearing from too many other artists. So it's interesting to hear them come back after 2 years, and I'm sort of hear what they've been up to and what they've been doing. I'm guessing they didn't make that much of an impression on you then, if you don't remember us recovering the album.
We've recorded a lot, but
we really have.
Yeah. Should we make this should I go to Shit Sandwich review with this, or how should I structure my review?
You can. For sure you can. I don't worry. Like, I'm not coming in and saying this is the second coming of Christ either. So yeah, so you go ahead.
Well, I think for me, a shit sandwich is, essentially. It's
right.
It's kind of like the bad, then the good, then the bad again. I thought this was pretty dreadful.
Oh, wow.
Pretty,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was very stock sounding compared to what they've done. Mm. Is that too ridiculous to make?
No, not at all. I think you're the stock argument. Well, for me, it absolutely applies to Chemicals, the first track, the sort of title track. I think it sounds very anonymous. It could be, you know, a Katy Perry track circa 2014, 2015. Just very little to distinguish it.
Yeah, but it's
even the
it's
lyrics
produced,
are almost like willfully generic.
But it's produced really fucking well. But that only goes so far for me.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
I would need them to step this up. Like, I think the second track, Take Control, is by far and away the best.
Yes, it is.
Blends,
it is.
It blends that cool... I think that's the one that goes... Burp, 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 burp. It's got that cool half-stepping, laid-back feel that the first album had, but with the weird Euro-trashy build-ups that the second album introduced.
It has... No, that was the end of my shit sandwich, was it has got pretty nice little hooks to it. But I don't think the synths they're using for those hooks are good.
Yeah,
they might just be the first thing I see in my Logic Pro synth folder is these, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I agree. I think this maybe lacks some of the polish that it needs. I personally would need them to step it up for a new album to interest me, for me to want to kind of come back and say, right, like Glitch Mob album 5 or whatever it is, album 4, like, let's go. Because this is a band that maybe definitely brought it back towards being artistically viable, I think, on their last album, but
still a long way
to go to being really, really good.
VEP should be a spot to really experiment. I wouldn't go safe with an EP ever, really.
Yeah, especially not in this genre, because electronic music is like, it's one thing if sort of folk ballads are your thing, or if you just do some really pure version of a long-standing genre, but because electronic music is so fast moving, it almost feels like these guys are stuck rehashing something that really people moved on from in, like, you know, 7 years ago. So you gotta be
a little
longer. You really have to move with the times, huh?
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Trying to say any good things about this. Of course, I'd play it safe if it was a first EP, but this is into their career a bit, you know.
Yeah, no, it's well into their career. I think they probably needed to come out with something that would point to the promise of a new sound in the future.
Perhaps.
Whereas this kind of sounds like a rehash maybe of where they've been.
Yeah, definitely. Do we have anything more good to say about it?
What I will say is, like, I will probably be giving this a pretty, like, respectable score, because even though I don't feel like it's pushing any boundaries or if it's even among their absolute best work, I do think that the latter two tracks, like tracks 2 and 3, they have that glitchy, half-stepping, big, bouncing sound that I always enjoyed from them. So, like, that for me is enough to make me enjoy listening to at least those second two tracks.
Okay, I'd agree with the second two tracks are the stronger ones. But it started on the sour, and it has those bits which should absolutely hit for me, but just don't. So yeah, unfortunately. Yeah,
that's okay. No, I think I generally agree with you, although I'd be shocked if I don't give it at least a 1 point higher than you. But curious what your, I presume, what's your favorite track?
It's the last song, Stance.
The last song, okay.
Yeah.
Mine's probably the second track, Take Control, but, you know, on another day. And what would you give it out of 10? It's okay.
Probably 4.
All right. I had a feeling. That's okay. I think I would still give it a 6.
Ooh. Jeez. I don't know. I mean, it's got. I like the glitchy bits. That's. I like when it glitches
that's
out.
Okay.
Sort of.
I'd love to go back to the old episode and just see what your final thoughts were on the last album, just out of pure curiosity, because I think it was probably something like you gave it a 7, I gave it an 8, something like that, but I'd have to go back
probably.
And double check.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that was a pretty quick one, because I was a little disappointed, to be honest with you, with that one. So that's the Glitch Mob and their Chemicals EP. So we're rattling through these. I think maybe I want to finish on a meaty discussion. So maybe let's just quickly rattle through EP, which is the new EP, very creative title, from Alkaline Trio. Our friends Matt Skiba, Dan Adriano, and Derek Grant from Chicago. Our good friends. Our friends and yours. So this kind of wraps up a very busy couple of years for Matt Skiba, particularly taking up a co-lead sort of vocal and songwriting duties in Blink-182. Yeah. Since 2016, there's been the California Extended Edition and 9 records from Blink-182 that Matt Skiba was involved in, and then also Is This Thing Cursed, the Alkaline Trio album from 2018, and now this new EP. So clearly a very sort of a creative and prolific time for Matt Skiba. It's only three tracks. It's pretty short.
It is.
What do you think?
Yeah. Not bad. But still holds a bit of the bit of that kind of glossy juice from the last Blink outing. There's still a bit of that there.
You reckon? I think this is a bit more rough and ready.
Yeah, maybe. I would say in the first song, the woes, just I can't believe he got, like, the way he structures the whoa whoa whoa, then the opposite, then whoa whoa whoa. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
Oh man, that's pop punk, baby. That's pop punk, baby.
There are so many other ways you can do a catchy non vocal melody. Like,
yeah,
like that.
I hear you. Yeah.
But I like what the song still have to offer still.
And yeah, I think that first track is a highlight. It's just, it's got those running toms, the sort of Knights of Cydonia toms. It's got the really, really high octane chorus, and it's even got that Blink inspired atmospheric piano middle eight that you don't actually often hear from Alkaline Trio. That feels like a bit of a crossover episode.
Yeah, so it really did seem like a crossover more than what I really go for with Alkaline, even though there's still a bit of it. Like a love.
Are you more of a Crimson kind of guy, or like a or like an earlier?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Crimson is probably. I see. I actually, I'm a bit basic. I actually love Agony and Irony and the She Lied to the. No, it's not called She Lied to the FBI. My Shame is True. Like, I actually really like Latter Day Alkaline Trio, but I know I'm kind of alone in that.
I think for me, it's just been I've been turned off by Matt Skiba so much in the last 7 to 8 years.
Yeah, I hear you.
The last album was all right, I think.
Mm. Yeah, we liked it. I think it had some great songs.
Yeah. But for the most part, it's been all right. I've been all right about it. Nothing too bad.
I think that song, Mine's like a Minefield, is one of the better Alkaline Trio cuts of the last few years. I think it's a really strong song.
Except for the Whoa Whoas.
Yeah.
It
I don't mind. See, I've never had an issue with the Whoa Whoas.
Yes, you have. Fine. Well, I mean, in music, I swear we both have.
No, in general, yeah, maybe it's a general concept, but I'm a real sucker. Like, it doesn't bother me when, like, Matt Skiba or Tom DeLonge do it.
Well, I think one of your criticisms with Mark Hoppus, or with the last Blink albums, was that, and you liked them a lot.
Yeah, I actually love that last Blink album. I don't have too much bad to say about it.
Oh, I...
Sorry.
Yeah.
I know it sucks, but it's true.
I know multiple people who love it blindly, so, but hey, yeah. What can I say?
I like it. I'd say I like it about 3 points out of 10 more than the average, maybe 4. I really like that album.
Yeah, I prefer this more than that album.
Yeah.
And this is just three songs, so that just goes
it
to
is
show
just three songs.
My brain's
so
out.
So that's I think Mine's Like Minefield's unquestionably the most interesting song. What do you think of the two Dan Andriano songs, Radio Violence and Smokestack?
Prefer them.
Oh, okay.
Oddly enough, Smokestack is probably one of my favorite things he's kind of been main featured in. You know,
mm-hmm. Smokestack is great.
It's nice. There's some really good feel good elements to this that I always take from Alkaline Trio when I go for them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's almost got like it's a real Dylan style folk ballad. That song, it's not trying to be anything more than it is. Just straight ahead, one acoustic guitar and Dan's voice, and it's very upbeat as well. Like it's got a real driving rhythm to it, considering it's just acoustic guitar.
That's what I love about it, though. It isn't a self deprecating kind of acoustic-y ballad, like.
Yeah,
I guess Blink kind of did with their last album at points. This is nice. It felt genuine, and it felt a little more genuine than the Whoa Whoa
Organic, Whoa. Huh?
It did.
Mm. Radio Violence. I think it's a bit major key for me. I think it's pleasant, but wouldn't be my favorite aspect of the band.
Maybe I kind of like when they delve into it. It felt kind of very against me.
Definitely.
Yeah, that kind of folk punk style. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, like I said, it's only three tracks. I don't think it gives any... I don't think it shows a new side to the band, put it that way, apart from maybe Smokestack. So I wouldn't... You know, this feels to be like very much a stopgap. I wouldn't read too much into these three tracks as to where Alkaline Trio are going to go next or anything like that. I think this was just a little bit of, you know, quarantine content.
Yeah, good time to release it.
Yeah, definitely.
Depending on who you are. Yeah, it does good. Even if it's just kind of the same old. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it, exactly. It wasn't crafted as a... Or it's not made up of cuts from the... Is this in Cursed Sessions? From what I understand, it was all written and recorded later than that. But at the same time, I think it sounds like it could have been. I don't know. My favorite track is mine. It's like Minefields, unsurprisingly, probably, based on how I was talking about it. I'd probably give it a 7.
I'll give this a 6. And I guess maybe Radio Violence is my favorite, actually.
Okay.
Out of the two of his. Yeah.
I do like Dan's. I do love Dan's voice. I think he's got such a unique...
I do.
A kind of, he sounds like a big grizzly bear or something.
Yeah, I'm not sick of
but
it.
A friendly
yet.
One. No.
Yeah.
All right. Great. So that's EP by Alkaline Trio. And we have rattled through this. We're on to our final release. It's called, oh, excuse me. The whole
oh, no, I fell. Pick me up.
Around my ears. Yeah, pick up Dylan's video feed there. So this is, I think it's called Glacial Eclectic by New Pagans.
Yes, it is.
Oh, did I get it right?
It is.
Working off the top of the dome here. Glacial Erratic, excuse me. Glacial Erratic.
Oh, well, I sound like an idiot.
So So New Pagans are a band from Northern Ireland. They've been around for 3 or 4 years. Made up of Claire Miskimmon on bass, Conor McCauley on drums, and here is the headline for me, I suppose. Cathair O'Doherty, formerly of Fighting With Wire and Jet Pain Landing, and Goon's Fame, who I constantly obsess over on guitar, and his partner and PhD in Women in Ireland Studies, Lindsay McDougall on vocals. So it's an interesting lineup. New Pagans have been around. I've had my beady eye on them for a while, and I was very interested to see what they would do with a... you know, a slightly longer release, because they've mostly been releasing singles and stuff like that. So here we have, you know, kind of a solid 25-minute block of what they do. And I think you'll probably agree that it has some similarities to... has a lot of similarities to Cathair O'Doherty's previous work, but then at the same time has something that's a little bit its own and unique, huh?
Yeah, it's got some, like, you know, the 90s titans of this genre of music. The female representation has got a lot of that featured in it, which I love.
Yeah,
whether it be Courtney Love, The Breeders, whoever, it's got tiny little sprinkles of that all over it. So that's really cool to see come back in style. You know,
absolutely, and you know, bits of stuff that I'm an absolute sucker for. You know, you've got little bits of Sparta, Jawbox, Rival Schools, Fugazi, Killing Joke. Even I think a little sprinkling of The Cure here and there. Like there's a frosty
in the bass.
Yeah, the bass particularly. I think there's a lovely buzzy bass tone throughout this, and it's just a little bit more gothy and a little bit more post-punk than anything that Cathair has put his name to before, which I think is really cool.
I love that. That's probably my favorite kind of sound he's developed. Especially in stuff like what am I looking at? Admire, Bloody Soil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bloody Soil in particular is just a Fighting With Wire song. Like you can't tell me that could just have been a cut off Colonel Blood or something like that. It's got those, you know, stabbing octaves in the verse. It's got the, you know, megaphone vocals in the middle eight that lead into a really sort of typical Cathair solo. And then that chorus where it's like, you know, I look through the heather to the shell of a girl. Na na da da da. Like total Fighting With Wire, and I'm here for it. Trust me, I'm here for it.
Yeah, the trade off with the vocals is really cool. Some page of David Grohl is in that book.
Definitely.
You know?
You're talking about the last track, Lily Yates, where it's like, let's go. Need it if you say so. Lovely when Cathair's voice comes in and it plays off Lindsay's. That's really nice.
Yeah. No, I love how it works. I love this dynamic in New Pagans.
It's cool. It's very cool. It's almost like he's been forced to take a little bit of a backseat. Like, you can still hear very much his influence on like a lot of the solos and the riff ideas throughout. But having Lindsay front and center with her very unique take and her unique spin on a vocal approach gives this something that's very different, I think.
Yeah, there's a good half point with both of these song styles coming together. Like, there hasn't been with some of the other stuff we've covered. Maybe I just like when it's two very strong elements from two bands coming together, and it just makes it it just amplifies what you get from either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also a cool almost sort of, well, there's a little bit of a highbrow edge to this too, because obviously, like I said, Lindsay McDougall is she either has her PhD or she's like in the final stages of doing her PhD of women in Ireland studies, and so what that brings to this is on tracks like It's Darker and Lily Yates in particular. Like, Lily Yates was the sister of Jack B. Yates and W. B. Yates. Like, so it's almost like that kind of being stuck between what are sort of two, like, quote unquote great men, and trying to deal with that as a woman. And then on It's Darker, it's sort of about that dismissal of women in conversations about music aficionados and people trying to one up each other on their musical knowledge. I'm not exactly sure what the subtext is on some of the other tracks, but she does bring a really unique and like I say studied perspective to a lot of these issues. That it's just that little bit more interesting than the usual kind of Dear Diary type lyrics.
And I love the bass line in Charlie. It's so
Charlie's
driving.
Bass line is so good.
It's like the side of the Pixies I like. You know, it's the best of that
Pixies
style.
Yeah, Pixies for sure. It mixes that sort of post-punk interpoly type verse with a really cool twiddly post-hardcore chorus. Really nice, that song is lovely. And then they bring in, it sounds like they wheeled in somebody's ancient, not tuned in 30 years piano to do that outro. Like, and it's a feature, like, rather than a bug, that the piano is slightly out of tune. It just sounds lovely and eerie.
That's a great little touch. Sounds more off-putting in a way, in a good way.
Yeah. Speaking of Black Sabbath, what did you think of the main riff from I Could Die? Is very that broom 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 boom do 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 do. Like, it's just a slight, variation on Paranoid, huh?
That it did occur to me. But as I say, all hard rock riffing is technically a slice off of the old Paranoid.
Ah, that's true.
In a way.
Ah, yeah, no, and they do enough after that. They do enough to kind of differentiate it. That's probably my least favorite song, I Could Die. I think that one kind of just passes me by, maybe slightly more.
Like, it begs to say about like. What layers can totally change a familiar riff. Like, there's a song on the last Kopeck album. I can't remember the name of it, but the riff is totally in bloom. It's totally in the chorus. But just doesn't matter, because the song is amazing with all the layers that go above it and change it up. So sometimes you can work around it.
You can. There's a. Did you remember Dwelling for Jackals? That band.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I have an EP that they never released. Their second EP, which is vastly superior to the first one that did get released. But one of the songs is literally Shadow Moses the chorus is Shadow Moses by Bring Me the Horizon. So every time I listen to Step Eternal, I always go, what is this? Why doesn't this sound quite right? Because I've probably listened to the Dwelling for Jackals EP slightly more. So I'm used to the Dwelling for Jackals version from the EP that never got released, rather than the Bring Me the Horizon version. Very strange. But, you know, in retrospect, pure plagiarism. Or intentional or unintentional. Probably unintentional. But yeah, it's funny when that happens.
You know, fun fact. Sorry, it's tangent off totally from this whole thing. You know... the way Bring Me the Horizon were featured on the Hideo Kojima's new game, Death Stranding. Sure. It's because they had a song called what was the name of it there? You just said it.
Shadow Moses?
Yeah, that's the name of one of the secret bases in Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid, right? I just,
so,
yeah,
so,
just remember
so
that,
that's where Hideo got picked up to those guys.
That's funny.
It was because of that reference. Well, yeah,
good for him. He likes White Lies too.
I know he likes. Yeah. He likes a lot of bad bands, but he likes a lot of good bands. He loves Tverches, so yeah, go figure.
Oh yeah, yeah. All right, well, I think we should wrap up on this one anyway. Yeah. I for me, it's a smorgasbord. It doesn't quite achieve the heights, but it's only an EP. But you know, I love Cahir Let Loose.
There's a lot of room. There's a lot of songs to go through at least on this mini album EP thing, and that's good. Yeah. I think I would like less more if it was only the first three songs, but I like the latter half a lot more.
Oh, really? I think It's Darker is. I just love that chorus. I think that chorus absolutely carries that song. Yeah, yeah. It's fantastic. But yeah, I mean, I'd probably go with Bloody Soil because I'm basic.
Nice. I'm going with Admire. Similar reasons, lovely. Same energy. And I'm giving this an 8.
I'll give it an 8 as well. Great stuff. That's Glacial Erratic, the new EP from New Pagans, a great band out of Ireland, and I cannot wait.
Doesn't sound very Irish.
Finally. You don't think so?
Not entirely. I mean, to us, we can pick up on it a bit more, but it can sound anything Middle Atlantic, you know.
Well, I suppose, yeah, but I do think I can pick up Lindsay's accent a little bit. And plus, you've got songs about, like, you know, about the about sisters of Irish writers and painters. And also,
yes,
I don't think anybody but an Irish person could write a lyric like "I looked through the heather at the shell of a girl." That's just very. they have that much heather in other parts of the world. Anywho, I think it's really good, and it's an 8 from me also. Yes, exactly. All right, well, that is all of the EPs that we are reviewing today. I suppose we will be back with a slate of new release albums. Hopefully, the album releases don't dry up. I think people
there's a lot that came out. Just recently.
There is.
A lot. I have about 5 which I could possibly front run. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, great. I know for a fact that there's new albums from Pearl Jam and Milk Teeth, which we will be sort of considering for the next show. And what have you got in the back pocket?
I think maybe Birthday Massacre and a few others. There's a lot.
Sure. Excellent. Yeah, a few got pushed back. I know Biffy's album got pushed back. Barry Tomorrow got pushed back. Anna Birch is supposed to be coming out in a couple of days. I think that's going to go ahead as planned. So we'll see. Okay. They're, you know, a lot of the bands, especially the ones on the majors, are pushing their releases back just because infrastructure around getting records out to people and doing album release tours and stuff like that is obviously a ground to a halt at the moment. But
Lady Gaga had to push it back. Lady Gaga did hers.
She pushed it back. Yeah. That's right. Maybe. But it'll all come out eventually. Just gotta wait a little longer. So
gotta get through the storm, and all this music can really help.
Yeah, it really can.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for doing this with us. Hopefully, the edit will be even a little bit more seamless than it was last time. And
hopefully,
you won't even be able to tell that we're not sitting next to each other.
Oh, you probably will.
You probably will. All right, well, listen, thank you so much for tuning into this bonus. I promise I keep it under an hour, and we've just about managed that. So this bonus miniature EP edition of Kill Shuffle. Do follow us over on Spotify. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and all those good places. I'm also quite proud of how our website looks at the moment, killshuffle.wordpress.com. Yes, we're cheap, but it does look expensive. And in the meantime, please, you know, stay inside. Wash your hands. Don't leave the house. Just think of other people as well as yourself, you know?
Yeah. Be strong. Stay strong.
Stay strong. Bye.
Bye.